Welcome back to this Sunday show with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Morning, Neil.
Oh, Chris, a very good morning. You know, I must be a terrible person to try to assassinate because I move around the country so much, and I think the people that are trying don't have airtime for their GPS. So I'm coming to you live from Knysna. I was at a wedding of a stunning couple, Matthias and Jean-Louis. But put that aside, Chris. Again, I will say, the privilege to drive through George and Knysna, Mossel Bay, Riversdal, those places, shows that our country is a beautiful country, and this show is worth it to keep the people on their toes.
I know, Neil. I have been getting so many messages wanting to know where we are, what we're up to, and people telling me that politicians behave even worse when we are not around. So, shall we?
Yeah. There's no one, you know, when we're not on, Chris, the amount of WhatsApps, emails that we get, we can't count them. And they all ask, but where are you? And it seems like there's no one that in this country, I'm talking about a social media show that gets more than 200,000 views on a weekly basis that can say to them, hey, Hanukitu, stoked. And I think that is what the country is saying. You know, when you and I are not there, then, you know, they try and do their thing. So, sorry, we're back.
Let's start with the state of the government of national unity after the VAT victory.
What a fiasco. You know, Chris, it is like, I love hunting. You know, I love going out there. I'm not a big favorite of killing things. But the hunt doesn't just go about hunting an animal. It's about the braai, the talk, the fire, the laughter, the people that acted like idiots in the day. Very much like Parliament. And except you don't get biltong afterwards. But some of the ministers are past that stage between 80 and biltong. Chris, what we have to say to each other is that the VAT question has become so shrouded in acclamation, in trying to have credit, in trying to say, but I did it. Instead of saying, and that was an email to me when the guy said, Neil, you said that undoubtedly 1 May will come and that there will be no VAT. I said, yes, because these are my opinions. But no matter who or what or when, this VAT is stopped by no matter. It is a victory for the country. Now, we've got people that stand there and that are saying, but we did it, instead of saying, we did it for the country. You see, it's got nothing to do with politicians. It's got to do with the impact of a 50 basis point, a 0.5% levy on VAT that you cannot escape at all. When you do pay as you earn, when you do UIF, when you do personal tax, when you do company tax, you get a very clever auditor that stays in the confinement of the law, but makes you pay the least tax. And that's a worldwide thing, Chris. But you cannot duck and dive VAT. So it is not just a matter of cancelling VAT, having this uproar in the country. Here's the crux of the matter, Chris. And people get so clouded that they forget to look at the facts. And that's why we have the Sunday show. That's why we are here to wrap up the week and to ensure that the absolute bullshit that the people are feeding us as manure to grow new vegetables, that we decipher it and tell you from which bull did it come. Now, where am I? The VAT issue is a matter that when you take all the clouds away, Chris, did you know that a person like who I acclaim quite high, Davi Ruot, an economist, he's on the Biz News show quite often. He's an acclaimed economist. He revealed last week something that was incredible. But because we had Bosa, Mosa, Xhosa, Rangsa, almal wat sa, saying, but we did it. Rubbish. We forgot about the real fact. Here's a fact, Chris. Davi Root said that the maximum amount of money that Treasury will be able to collect under the increase of the 0.5% would be roughly 10 billion rand. He said so. I trust Davi. Now, Chris, if this is a fact, listen to what SARS says to the country last week, that they have collected more revenue from the poor taxpayer in this country than expected. And that the 10 billion rand that would have been raised through this terrible anti-poor VAT increase, that money was already collected by SARS. So question, was it therefore necessary, Chris, to go through all of this rubbish, all of this fighting, all of this grandstanding, all of this claim, and actually put this country back under pressure, being abused again? And Chris, the laugh is they cut VAT and they say VAT is done, but they switched our lights off. Load shedding 15 minutes after VAT announced to be stopped. Chris, the conclusion of this is the DA took them to court with the EFF tailing. Ooh, there was some change. But make no mistake, it was because of self-gain and self-promotion. The fact that the DA went to court and now the absolute rubbish that Enoch Kongwana and his team is saying, we deny. Hulle deny. They are denying that they spoke to them. They are denying that they actually went and sent their lawyers to find the out-of-court settlement. They are denying it. But that's the ANC, you see. And now the DA had to do a supplementary court presentation for a document to indefinitely ensure that 1 May does not happen on VAT. But Chris, here's a problem. Companies have already changed their invoicing systems so that VAT can kick in. And you know what the ANC says? Well, you've got to bear it until the 15th of May, and then it will be absolutely stopped and reversed. That's a lie. How do you pay me back on my predrol that I bought from Pick and Pay? How are you going to find me? So Chris, here is a stark fact. It's too late to stop VAT in the systems. And for 15 days, in my opinion, someone's going to take our money again.
Gosh, Neil. Now, of course, the African National Congress, SG, is putting his unique spin on it all. He was surprised to find the Democratic Alliance still in the GNU.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he finds his office every morning. I mean, Chris, you know, anything that this guy comes up with, you have to go double check. And please don't Google him. Go and look at a word book and an encyclopedia. Want die here, alleen weet where Fakile gets his stuff from. But this is normal, and this is what can be expected. They're now saying that they were against VAT in principle. They were put in a corner. They were told that there's no other way to raise revenue. And this is the same Fakile Mbalula that continually sits down and says that the DA must leave the GNU. And is continually saying that they are very surprised that the DA is still there. Well, they don't have a choice. Because what we're now seeing, Chris, at the ANC and multi-party press statement launch, interesting parties now sitting at the same table. And Chris, all of them doing one thing. Praising Fakile Mbalula. To such a point that a question was raised by a person from the media by asking, is this the new GNU? Is this the new formation of a possible new entree for Cyril Ramaphosa to turn around and go, well, the people that are sitting at this table, Action SA, Bosha, Rise, niks gereis het nie. And you sit with all of these, the UDM, the good party, Auntie Pat, ja, sy byt nog vas aan die koeksister. And suddenly you've got an array of new people and all of them making presidential speeches.
Mm.
So Chris, I'm watching that very clearly and without a doubt, while Fikile and our next subject of Mr. Mashetile, while they are totally making their plans in the back, this country must just continually praying that the current status quo survives.
Well, the African National Congress will probably have to invite whomever it can find into its bed if that poll showing that support for the party has dropped below 35% is correct, Neil.
Chris, there's another thing, and I think Helen Zille said it very clearly on Friday. Now, you can like her or you can hate her, but there's one thing that Helen Zille doesn't do, and that is make a mistake on a contract. Because I was part of the multi-party charter. We saw the contracts, the guidelines, and the documents that the DA can produce. Not just the DA, the ANC, and everybody else, they're good in their documents. The problem is that Fikile, who does absolutely fairer, I don't think he reads his documents. When they formed the GNU, Chris, like when they formed the multi-party charter, there was a contract. There was an agreement, let's call it the settlement agreement, the initiation agreement. And there's a contract that says what they can and what they cannot do. So if the ANC decides, who are now dismally under attack because of the VAT, because of them now seemingly to be anti-poor and totally distorted from their people, I mean, 20 million rand, 50 million rand, 100 million rand, a billion rand stolen every week and no one cares, Chris. So what they have to understand, if they want to now bring in the new soothsayers, the new praise singers, they will have to go back to that contract, cancel it, and follow the stipulations before they can do anything. But there's a difference, though, when you talk about cabinet. Because as you know, Chris, all the ministers that serve in that cabinet serve to the behest of the President of the Republic of South Africa. So watch that space very closely.
Mm. As we are watching how certain politicians are beginning to hustle for the position of President of the African National Congress, and just as Deputy President Paul Mashatile soft launched his bid, there was that alleged assassination attempt on him, or as some people described it, his Trump moment. Mm-hmm.
When here, y'all. Listen. Chris, have you ever stood next to a full-grown elephant bull? I mean, a full-grown elephant bull.
No.
This is not a toy. This is a mass piece of meat, bone, and livable mass I have. And you feel so infinite when you stand next to this massive animal. Now, Chris, do you know what is a Vimbux? A pellet gun. Jy knak hom, jy sit hom, jy druk hom, jy skiet hom. Paul Mashatile's attempt on apparently his life is like shooting a full-grown elephant bull on the backside, on the ass with a pellet gun. He's going to think it is a fly. Why do I say that? Firstly, there's a gentleman called Rory Steyn, friend of ours. We know him personally. I regard him as a great friend now. Rory Steyn was put on TV because Rory Steyn, obviously well known to be one of the leaders of the VIP protection team for Nelson Mandela in that hurly-burly time of change. And Rory said it absolutely clearly. Whoever tried to assassinate a deputy president in his motorcade, either is absolutely not full circle, or, and listen to what Rory says, or has got contacts from very, very high to ensure they covered. Chris, the vehicle that the vice president drives is exactly the same vehicle which is issued to the president. They're of the same class. They're bulletproof. They can take up to the highest velocity of rounds, up to an AK, AR-4 rifle. They can take up a 7.62 bullet. So when you start talking about shooting at a vehicle like that with a 9mm or an AK or a Uzi, 7.62 rounds, it won't work. Neither will a shotgun pellet work. And what we now have is this discussion that the assassin tried to kill Paul Mashatile sitting in the back of a bulletproof armored vehicle with shotgun pellets. This is the latest analysis allegedly from the police. My gee, no more. I don't understand how someone will say that this was a credible attack on the life of a deputy president with the weaponry they are now saying. And he first said it sounded like stones. So you bloody good in your brain. So I don't know, Chris. It's a fiasco. It is absolutely coming from that industry. It is ridiculous. And the rollout every week of another scenario on this assassination attempt is just becoming jelly and custard inflamed with a little bit of Oshkosh. And Chris, it was never, ever put in public. There was no crime scene. The bodyguards drove off. They did not, part of them, stop to defend and to seek the assailant. There was no crime scene. There was no cartridges. There was no investigation done on the day and the night of that hour. In my time, you can ask Rory, if you attack a presidential motorcade, you have to have substance and you have to have backup and support. But what would happen is, the minute there's fire on that VIP, you remove that VIP, but a part of that, there's a 85 car head, is because it is supposedly to be for a shield, so that when the one moves away, the other cover and buffer. And that was not done, which is weird because previously his own bodyguards had the time to pull off and beat up citizens that didn't want to move out the way. Isn't that funny? It's actually not funny, ha-ha, that was doff snacks, the fact that you can do that. So I'm sorry, this is an absolute farce, and until I am proven wrong, I think this was just something that was calculatedly made up in the news. That's my opinion, allegedly.
Well, whilst President Cyril Ramaphosa is still president, he held that meeting with Ukraine Zelensky, also called Russian President Vladimir Putin. Is he trying to emerge as the peacemaker here instead of Trump?
Sorry, Chris. Jy weet seker goed, dis maar net woord toe, nee. What the hell is Sookie Cyril Cupcake going to have an influence on probably two of the greatest powers in the world, being Russia and being America? And then the people say, maar hy het 'n telefoonoproep gehad en miskien, maybe Cyril could be the answer. Luister gou vir my. Hey. Cyril couldn't even keep peace in the GNU. Inteendeel, he can't even keep his NEC together. So what the hell is he going to do to cause a 5 or 10 year current war situation to now come in and say, nee, ek sal dit uitsort hier. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. So I'm sorry, Chris. He might have called Putin, but it was for a bottle of vodka. It was definitely not to ask him to surrender. So I think that is a fallacy. It is his network, his people trying to put up this big show that, you know, Cyril is a peacemaker because he was that at Kodesa. And I'll tell you something. If you look at many of the people that were in those negotiations and the people that were there, the ANC clearly lost. I think that the National Party and Rolf Meyer clapped the ANC at such a rate that they didn't get much, and that's why we're struggling today. So no, Cyril is definitely not a Mandela, and he cannot at this current moment claim to be anything. But you know what, Chris? Hoe vinnig ek hierdie ouetjie in en uitgekom. I must tell you, Chris, it's like a bar of sunlight soap, and you put it underneath the tap and I maak jy so, né? Boop, weg. Listen, he landed. Madag. Whoop, he's back. And he said the reason why he's got to go back that early is because Russia is bombing them again. Chris, I don't know. I don't know if this was orchestrated. I don't know if it was done that way. I think it was to get this guy to land and to get him the hell out. I think that was the ideology, because what did you see? What did we experience? What major tours, what major influence did his visit actually do except to land, coffee, a biki blad yang, cheese and yama, and that's worrying that we have got such a scenario of window dressing happening in this country. They're taking the South African citizens' IQ to a level where they can never aspire. Osisidomi, we know what they do.
Well, apparently the president has also called Trump, and the two are due to meet soon. What do you think a meeting like that will achieve, Neil?
That's like summoning your dad to a coffee meeting. Old school. It doesn't happen. You don't summon your dad. Your dad summons you. And even if you are the one asking to see him, you make him feel like he called you. This is the exact same of Cyril Ramaphosa. Cyril Ramaphosa, let me tell you, Chris, has no impact, has no credibility with a person like Donald Trump. And not because Trump trumps him on anything else, except that there's a difference between Donald Trump and Cyril Ramaphosa. Do you know what it is? Trump's got balls. Cyril's got none. I threw Sankeys. So I'm sorry. This isn't going to work. And I would wait for that day, and I'll probably have a double brandy and Oros on that day and swallow my words. That's my opinion.
Neil, now there is speculation that the next U.S. ambassador from South Africa could be a white Afrikaner, and President Cyril Ramaphosa's old friend, former apartheid minister Rolf Meyer's name has come up. Now, as you will recall, those two were dubbed R&R at the CODESA negotiations. Do you think they are up for another round of R&R?
Yeah, R&R, rotten rumble. Chris, firstly, here we go back again. Ek wil net dit duidelik stel. Op record. You know, on Thursday, while we were supposedly on a break, I had the opportunity as a United Independent Movement councillor of the city of Cape Town to do a rip-roaring speech. Chris, it's gone over 300,000 already. And what made it so fascinating is I decided, you know, to befoozle the ANC, which doesn't take much. It's just a trip to the kitchen. Chris, I did my full speech in Afrikaans. By the time that these people could get their translation headphones on, I was already on my way to have a cupcake. Ek het hulle so gemoer. I think they're looking for parking space still today, because half of the stuff I said to them in insult, they didn't even recognize. So Chris, at the end of the day, we must stop thinking that people in this country don't know the truth. And programs like this is to just double check the cherry on the cape. Rolf Meyer? Really? Well then, Chris, my suggestion is that the Springbok team, Rassie, hoor jy, must bring back Dani Gerber and Haas Botha. I mean, really? Are we going that far? I mean, why don't we just go dig up Joe Slovo? I mean, at the end of the day, do you really think that if we sent an Afrikaner boereman with biltong, a little bit of bokoms, lekker konfyt, brood, and this guy is going to go, okay, now everything is okay? This is rubbish, Chris. This is stupidity. Donald Trump doesn't care about the color, the language. He doesn't care about your affiliation. He doesn't care. So you can go find the klein seun van 'n gebroke agtergrondse Piet Retief and send him to America. It will make no difference. What is the problem? The problem isn't white. The problem isn't black. The problem is bloody Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, BRICS. The ICJ court case to Israel. Moet ons vir hierdie mense 'n vliegtuig kry met 'n banner? Must we now get an aircraft like they do in Cape Town? Apparently it says Mavericks. I don't know what it is. But Chris, replace that banner and say to them, hey, these are the five things that you need to recalculate, redo, re-Siri, and then only then, when you've apologized for the continual problems, foobars, and insults, can you then sit down and breathe? And until we don't fix those five problems, you can send anybody en masse, and it still won't work. Because I think our people are starting to understand that it's got nothing to do with the citizens of South Africa. It's got to do about the absolute absurd Durko, public relations, international relations, and this president's credibility of not being able to read the room.
Well, meanwhile, while we are on the topic of Afrikaners, the economic freedom fighters want to fall off Urania.
Yeah, Chris, they couldn't even do the fall of Brackenfell. You know, I would like to recruit people just from Brackenfell as like an anti-riot force when the EFF puts there. Kijk, hulle is goed gebliksem daar by Brackenfell. Brackenfell people are absolutely a different kind of species. They are a group of people that click together the minute that you drive into Brackenfell, even without the tracker, they know you're there. So I don't know this infatuation with Urania. Now, Chris, it's not pro-race. It's not anti-race. Again, it is a matter like the VAT issue. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. I studied it now. The Constitution, Chris, correctly or incorrectly, and you can get our great spectators here, and there are many that are from the legal fraternity, they will agree on this. Chris, in the Constitution, there's something called Section 235. Now, let me quickly tell you, it is probably the most buggered up clause in the Constitution. And can I tell you why? The Constitution said that self-governance and self-determination is allowed. According to the Constitution, it's a paragraph, it says so. It doesn't refer to race of exclusion of race and separation. It actually reads in the second clause of 235 that there must be a law, which is 235, which will allow people that share the same culture, the same history, and the same legacy to determine that they can stay together and self-manage, self-propel. That's a fact. Here's the stuff up, Chris. They never inserted in 235. The method and the way that Section 235 must be implemented. Can you imagine? You write a law that says that if you murder in this country, you must get the death penalty. That's it. It doesn't tell you where, how, why, what is the criteria. What are the benchmarks to hang a person? That is the exact, layman's term. You know, here we do complexity simple. That is the only way that I can explain it to our country, is they wrote a law, but they didn't finish it. Urania and other entities where there is existence of people that are of the same culture, they are of the same language, those entities, according to 235, are legal. They're legal. But the EFF, Chris, has no other song to sing except kill the boer, kill the farmer. Daiden is no horegery. That nuance, even the people, apparently to the latest poll, even the people in the EFF are saying that they don't think the song needs to be sung. Wow. So what are they going to fight? What is their next 80 cook 8 pop? What is now Urania? They are now looking at Urania. Now, Chris, here's my challenge. Why don't you build your own schools? Why don't you build your own hospitals? Why don't you build your own towns? Why don't you create what we've got? And then stand back and say, but look here, we can do it. They can't, Chris. Julius Malema proclaimed a couple of years ago that they are going to build the school. They've not even built a toilet outhouse. So good luck, and we must be assured that that constitution will not change. And my prayer, not because of anything else, Chris, is that someone actually invokes Section 235 officially in this country because it's not been tested in Parliament.
Neil, lastly, just when we think we've seen it all, 2 million on laptops.
Chris, I went to Google because I want that laptop. Because surely for a laptop, if you spend 2 million rand, I think it was 20.
It was a small number.
Yeah. What do you need a laptop? I mean, Chris, does it make cappuccino? Does it have like a cappuccino machine? Biggie moer koffie? Grondboone braai hier so, miskien 'n pannetjie vir 'n pannekoek. What the hell? What kind of laptop is it? Does this transform you? Yeah. And you know what is the worst, Chris? Another person that is in government, a lady of the ANC, in the past couple of months spent 11 million rand on food and hotels. This is gluttony. Dit is vreet. And Chris, here's the thing. Do you know why a pig is as fat as a pig? And why does a pig eat like a pig? Ek het al gestaan. Ek het al gesien hoe varke eet. Do you know why they eat like that, Chris? Because they don't have the IQ to understand that tomorrow they're going to get food again. The people that are currently eating our taxpayers' money, they are like pigs. They are eating at the trough and they are eating everything every day because they don't understand that there are going to be more tomorrow. So, Chris, this is the problem that we've got. We have an animalistic attitude towards gluttony. That was a Moses sentence. But this is the truth, Chris. They are stripping us. And here we sit as South Africans. Ach, there's maar nou nog 2.5 miljoen. Ach, there's nog. Chris, make up all those sums of money and you still want to play with me about VAT. No, there must come a time in this country where we say this is now enough. Margaret Thatcher said, there is nothing like a government project. There is nothing like a government investment. Because it is the money of the taxpayer, we the people, that fund government to empower them to do what they do. Never forget that. The taxpayer of this country, and we are not many, Chris, are every day giving this government more than 40% of our equity, our money, and at the back of it, every day, another 100 million, another 10 million, a rugby veld, 110 million, and there's not even posts or a toilet. When are we going to have enough? When is there going to be a citizen group? Because it can only be that. No politician, no political party is the answer to the current future of this country. It is the citizens, Chris. It is the people of this country that hold the power to the change of South Africa. And if these citizens do not stop moaning, stop Facebooking, and one day, Chris, can you imagine one morning, a citizens' national group of more than 10 million Saturday morning decide no more money, no more funding, no more funding, looting, or 20 million rand on laptops. When do we as the people get up and say, we are the country, we are the government, we own collectively as shareholders this institution? When will that day come, Chris? Because until that happens, the 400 people sitting in a tent still today. Hulle kan nie eens die parlement terugbou nie. They can't even build a parliament to fix it. We're in a tent. And until that day that we as the citizens get up and wake up and besluit, and I'm tired of this, sorry, sien ek, daar gaat hy. Genoeg is genoeg. I'm gutful of genoeg is genoeg. And we are drawing lines. Yes, so Chris, we are drawing lines in sand. You need the Sahara to take up that line in the sand. Chris, we've got to stop this. And it's up to you and me and those in this country that want to be ethical, honorable, credible, and remain in this country. The end.
Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement and BizNews favorite speaking on the Sunday show with me, Christine. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Christine. God bless this beautiful country of ours.